Well, let's start with a couple of announcements real quick. We have Bible study coming up Wednesday night, right here at 6:30. Have a good Bible lesson, we pray. And tomorrow night, even before Wednesday, we have men's Bible study in the pastor's office, Return to Mayberry. Many of you have been coming, but we ask if you've been coming, come on back and bring somebody with you. If you haven't tried out the men's Bible study, I really encourage you to come at 6:30. We really have a good time. It's not just all, it's fun. You should come. Operation Christmas Child is kicking off. We have a green container out in the foyer. We passed out some suggestions last week for picking things up as we prepare for our packing party in November. Even if something is not on the list for this month and it's on sale, feel free to pick them up. You can deposit them in the tub that's out in the foyer, and we'll store them in our brand new Operation Christmas Child warehouse that was built last Sunday and furnished this week. So thank you, Bob Haver, and all those others, Brian and Misty, and all those who had part in that. Another important thing coming down the pike is May 23rd. Be sure and put that on your calendar. Women's Bible study and fellowship, May 23rd. You're going to need to bring some finger foods if you want a snack. Okay? Thank you for this glorious morning. Thank you for being here. Stand as we pray and prepare to worship and hear from God today. Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning as we pray for the moms and all that they mean to us. All the moms around the world, not all have the privilege of living here. Many, many struggle, but they are just as beloved and blessed as anyone. Be with us this morning as we praise you in song, worship you in praise, and hear from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pray. with me. Father, we thank you that we have a friend in you, and you are waiting to hear from us, and your desire is to be in fellowship with us. And Lord, I thank you for our time together, that our worship may be a free, sweet fragrance to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. I want to share with you out of James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The earnest prayers of a righteous person have great power and produce wonderful results." Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what that means to us. Because you see, when God comes in and changes our heart, we become sanctuaries for Him. And every moment with Him can be a sweet hour of prayer.
6:40, sweet hour of prayer. Says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me."
Change my heart, oh God.
As our men come forward for our time of offering, pray with me. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us. We thank you for allowing us to live in the richest country on the planet. And Father, I pray that this be an offering of sacrifice to you, that we follow your command, and that you would bless the gift and the giver, that you would use it to your good and your glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for allowing us in your presence. My prayer is that in this few moments, you will cleanse our hearts. You will move the distractions of our mind in this world outside of us. That your Holy Spirit will have free reign in this room. That you will move in our hearts and our minds. Draw us closer to you. May the words that are spoken be yours, and give us ears to hear, that we might grow deeper in you and closer to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Prayer is my favorite subject. And I'm excited over the next few weeks we're going to be examining what it means to have your prayers work. Have you ever prayed and felt like that your prayers didn't work? I guarantee you everybody in this room has had that moment when you go, this is not working. I read the story of Harold Lamb, who worked for a company that did business with a lot of churches, and he and a colleague went to a rural Baptist church, made a sales presentation. And the chairman of the deacons was silent through the whole presentation. It was in the sanctuary like this, and they listened intently. And when they were through, the chairman of the deacons got up, and he came to the altar, and he prayed quietly. And he went back, and he sat down, and he looked at these two guys, and he said, "The Lord said we should wait." And without saying a word, Harold's colleague went to the altar, and he prayed. And he got back up, and he went over, and he looked at the chairman of deacons, and he said, "He wants to talk to you again." I'm not sure either man was praying as much as they were seeking their will. Because the thing we need to understand, first of all, there is nothing wrong with praying for what you want. James tells us, you don't have because you didn't ask. I had this rule when Grant was little. He and I always did the grocery shopping. And if he asked for something, he might get it. But if he didn't ask, then I didn't know, and I didn't volunteer. And so many times he would get home and he'd go, "Man, I wish we had this." And I go, "Why didn't you ask?" He go, "I didn't think about it." You and I don't have from God many times because we don't ask. But there's also this challenge we need to understand is sometimes we need to be careful what we ask for. Turn with me to the book of James. We're going to be in the book of James today, and then we're going over to 1 Kings. But James chapter 4, I want to start reading at verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. "You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it." Verse 3, "And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You want only what gives you pleasure." Let me unpack this for us, okay? I hope nobody in here kills to get what you don't have. But at many times, I promise you, all of us look at somebody else and go, "God, why don't I have that? Why don't I have this? Why is their life like that and mine like this?" Because there's this sense in us that life is fair. Whatever fair is, there's this sense that life is fair. My grandmother told me one time, life ain't fair, so just get over it. Right? And a lot of people spend their whole life trying to deal with the fact that life is not fair. What this passage is telling us, and what we're going to start unpacking, is when you get so focused on what you want, you can't see what God wants. Look with me at over one chapter, chapter 5, verse 16. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was human as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, and the sky sent down rain on the earth, beginning to yield crops. If you are born again, have accepted Christ as your Savior, do you realize you are a righteous person? Because that's our baseline. I guarantee you, many of us struggle with accepting the fact that we're righteous. Because when you read that verse, the prayers of a righteous person have great impact. We go, that's great. I wish I knew a righteous person to pray. Guess what? You are. You are. That's where we need to tell Satan to go jump in the lake. Because Satan wants you to know and believe that you're not righteous. You are not righteous because anything you have ever done, ever will do, any thought you have ever had, you will never be righteous because of that. You are righteous because of Jesus Christ. And when you accept Him into your heart, you are a righteous person, which means this verse is talking to you. Your prayers have great power and produce wonderful results. Your prayers have great power and produce wonderful results. How many of you, let's just be honest, okay? Let's just be honest. How many people in here pray, believe that you can pray and it will not rain for the next 3.5 years? How many people believe that? Most of us don't. Most of us don't believe that. Look with me over at 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to walk through a story that I preached on, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. But we're going to walk through it backwards because it is so important. It's where James is sending us. Because he's saying, look, hey, you're righteous. Elijah was righteous. He's human just like us. And look what he did. Okay? So here's our example of what we can do if we follow these simple steps, because what we need to understand is you're a righteous person and your prayers produce great results. Look with me first at 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to start reading at verse 41. Because I'm going to give you three steps that if we apply these in our mind, we can come to the place where our prayers have the same amount of power that Elijah's prayers do, if we take these three things into account. The first one is, you have to be committed. Okay? You have to be committed, fully committed to Christ, and praying for what he wants. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to start reading at verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there will be the sound of heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of the Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Now, imagine that, if you will. Okay? Some of us like to get comfortable when we pray. You ever gone to sleep praying? He bent down to the ground. He didn't get in a chair. He bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. I'm not going to try that, but I want you to try that when you get home today. Okay? Bend down to the ground, put your face between your knees, and start praying. I'm going to tell you in a minute why. But look at verse 43. "Go and look toward the sea," he told a servant. "And when he went up and looked, there was nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." Verse 44. "The seventh time a servant reported, 'A small cloud, as small as a man's fist, is rising from the sea.'" A cloud this size. Okay? Is that anything to get excited about? A cloud this size is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." This cloud is going to stop you. You better go. You and I have to be fully committed to the fact that our prayers produce great results from a great and powerful God. Elijah is fully committed. You and I want to see the results first, and then we'll believe. That's not the prayers of a righteous person. A prayers of a righteous person, believe without a doubt God is going to do what God is going to do. And so this cloud was enough for Elijah to said, "Go tell the king, you better hitch up the wagon, because it's about to get so muddy you ain't going to be able to go." That's belief. You and I need that kind of belief. That's being fully committed to a God who listens to your prayers. Now, about this bending down with your knees between your head between your knees and praying. Seriously, go try that. I tried it. I thought, how did that man do that? He worked at praying. You and I like to pray and go, "Well, God's not going to do anything. I prayed about it." You did? How long? About 2 minutes. Then I had to go off and do something else. He was uncomfortable, not for God's sake, for his sake. Because he was focused. Have you ever started praying and then before you realize it, you're thinking about dinner and who you saw at the grocery store and the car needs air in the tires and who the Rangers played it? Am I speaking to anybody? Prayer is a discipline. Okay? Prayer is a discipline. The more you work at it, and that's what this is all about. He was focused on nothing else than connecting with God. That's commitment. That's the commitment you and I need. The second thing is, you got to believe. God said, if you don't believe what you're praying, don't bother praying. If you don't believe, Back up a few verses. 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm going to read verse 21. Okay? Because remember this setting. It hasn't rained because God's people turned their back on him. And Elijah is in verse 21. Just listen. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How long will you waver, hobble between two opinions? If the Lord is your God, follow him. If Baal is your God, then follow him." And the people were completely silent. Who do you believe? Okay? Because the struggle for us so often is that we pray and then we doubt God. And at this point, in this long stretch with no rain, people were worshiping any and everything but God. And Elijah is saying, you're either with God or you're not. I do not know how people in this world make it through this life without God. I don't. Because there is no hope without God. All you can watch the news and be completely depressed by the fact that there is no hope without God. So how much do you believe? Because when you start praying, you and I have to be fully committed to believing the outcome. I want to illustrate that for you. Watch this.
June 24th, 2016. EMT Greg Clark and the Fort Worth Fire Department responded to an accident involving a car and an 18-wheeler.
We were first ones to arrive, and sure enough, a large truck T-boned another vehicle, hit him in the driver's side door. My immediate thought was, it's probably going to be a body recovery, not a rescue situation.
Amazingly, they found the driver, 23-year-old Charles Priest, unconscious but alive. He was airlifted to Texas Health Fort Worth Hospital in critical condition. Moments later, his mother, Cherie, drove up on the accident.
It was unbelief. What am I looking at? What am I seeing? Is this really him? At that point, I think all the emotions turned off, and it was the matter of, you got to get to your son.
After an officer filled her in, Cherie went home and picked up her younger son, Texas, and husband, Chuck. Speeding towards the hospital, they prayed.
Okay, God, what's going on? You know, is he going to be okay? I was just praying that God was going to be in the midst of it.
When the family arrived at Texas Health Fort Worth, they learned Charles was in a coma. Dr. Muhammad Siadati was one of the medical staff caring for Charles.
CAT scans revealed severe head injury, neck injury, broken ribs, blood in the chest, broken pelvis. His head injury was the most severe one. And there is micro tears. It's damage at cellular level that not necessarily obvious.
To see your son lying there and not know if you would ever see his eyes open again, and not know if you would ever hear him talk again. It was just overwhelming, heart-wrenching.
Although hoping for the best, doctors could make no guarantees.
And it was those kind of things. If he survives, if he wakes up, and we don't know when, and there's nothing, and there's no way for them to predict what's going to happen.
As the staff worked round the clock, friends and family gathered to pray, holding on to hope.
I may never get to speak to him again. I may never get to see him again. We may never get to laugh together again. I thought I was about to lose my son.
After 3 days, it was clear Charles would live, but he still faced the possibility of several permanent disabilities. His fractured neck might require surgery, severely limiting his mobility. But doctors' main concern was the elevated cranial pressure. The longer it remained, the more brain damage it could cause. His parents feared their son would never be the same.
I mean, there was absolutely nothing we could do except for praying and trusting in the Lord.
Pleading with Father and asking him to allow us to have another day to play basketball.
Alone in the waiting room one evening, Cherie says she was praying when the Lord gave her a promise.
I was sitting in the waiting room and I was looking out the window. I saw a dark cloud out in the distance. When I saw that cloud, and he took me back to Psalms 18. And it's just a beautiful passage. It starts out with, my cry came to the Lord's ear and he heard me. The next several verses describe nature responding because he got up and he came to my rescue. And the Lord gave me those four things, that he's going to wake up. He's going to know who God is. He's going to know who our family is, and he's going to run.
A week later, Charles' cranial pressure stabilized, and the doctors took him for an MRI. The family waited for the results.
They said, what we expect is for his brain to look like dog food.
And then they put the images up on the screen, and the image of his brain is a healthy brain.
And the doctors were surprised. They didn't expect to see it intact that way.
Over the next several days, Charles started waking up from the coma, responding to verbal commands. To the staff, it was a great improvement. To the family, it was confirmation that God was answering their prayers.
The doctor would come in and say, we're going to do a breathing test, but don't be shocked. It's going to take him a while. And in a couple of days, he's breathing on his own. And within a week, he's eating solid food.
Only 6 weeks after the accident,
he exits the hospital walking.
Then after wearing a neck brace for 4 months, he was released by doctors with no surgery and no medical restrictions.
So when it was done, it was done. It was the last part of my recovery. And for me to walk away from that with no restrictions, there's no way that I can look at any of the stuff that happened to me and realize it's not a miracle.
Charles not only finished his college degree, he was deemed physically and mentally fit to pursue his dream and serve in the Texas National Guard.
God is who he says he is. God will do what he says he will do. And if I doubt that, all I have to do is go look at my son.
He's not good because of the healing. He's good regardless of whether or not my son was healed. He revealed himself to us in this, and all I can do is say thank you.
Wow. Here's the thing I want us to understand and focus on, okay? Because many times in our lives, we pray for things that don't happen. It's not always this miracle, okay? It's not always that. But when you and I believe and we're focused on God, our prayers have incredible, incredible power, okay? We got one of those miracles sitting over there in the red shirt. Less than 1% chance that he would be alive. That's what they was given, right? Less than 1%. And he's sitting there. Not because of anything other than the prayers of righteous people that prayed that God might get the glory. Okay? Not for you and I, but for God. Over the next few weeks, we're going to keep looking at prayer, but we're also going to examine what happens when the miracles don't take place. when God seemingly doesn't answer our prayer. But I owe you one more point. Go all the way up to top of chapter 18. I want to read verse 1. This is the start of when Elijah is praying for rain. Later on in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to the king and tell him that I will soon send rain." Elijah is fully focused on God. Okay? He's focused on God. He believes it and he's committed. And the thing for you and I that we have to understand, and if we want our prayers to be heard, is we got to be focused on what God wants. Because James already told us, you don't have what you want many times because it's not what God wants. We're going to be looking at that in the next few weeks. But prayer is and should be, to me, the most important part of our life. It is what keeps us connected to God. When you don't feel like you have enough God in your life, and I know we do, and you feel like you're completely alone, start praying. And you say, well, my prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling. You know what I'm going to tell you to do? Keep praying. Keep praying. Because the prayers of a righteous person produce great results. And you are a righteous person. With me. Father, I thank you for allowing us to fellowship with you. That you desire to hear from us. That you care what we think and what we want. And that you have made us righteous. And therefore, our prayers have great results. Father, I pray for the people in this room. Nobody's here by accident. It's divine appointments. And I pray that you will take your word and multiply it in our hearts that we might be drawn closer to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.